Pearl Church exists to express a sacred story and to extend a common table that animate life by love. A primary expression of our sacred story is the weekly sermon. If our sermons inspire you to ponder the sacred, to consider the mystery and love of God, and to live bountifully, would you consider supporting our work? You can donate easily and securely at our website, pearlchurch.org, or follow the link in the podcast notes. Thank you for partnering with us in expressing this sacred story.
God, what we have here at Pearl is such a gift. Thank you. Thank you that we have each other in the midst of the prevailing chaos. Help us to keep growing and connecting and embodying your love. Amen, and go ahead and have a seat. Good morning, Pearl family.
Good morning.
I'm Jen Johnson, spouse of one, mom of four. Three of the four are here today. The other one is on their way home from a semester abroad in South America, so we're very excited for that plane to land tomorrow morning. For those of you who don't know us, we're involved at Pearl in various ways. We lead a home group, we volunteer with Pearl Kids, I serve on the finance team, and every once in a while I get to be up here on a Sunday morning, which is truly a joy. This morning we find ourselves in ordinary time, a time to grow. Whether that's like up and out, or putting down deeper roots, or just opening up to that next new step, that's what ordinary time is for. And our oversight team led us into this season really beautifully with heartfelt and encouraging messages. I just want to, on behalf of all of us, thank Mike, Belinda, Ben, Leah, Tim, Sherry, they're not here this week. Your authenticity and openness as you spoke really touched us all, and thank you for all that you do the whole rest of the year to keep this community going. Means all of us, so much to all of us, more than you could know. I'm just going to start crying right now. We'll just see how many times it comes back. This morning, we're also celebrating Portland Pride. While I don't personally hold an identity in any stripe of that fantastic flag, I'm excited to celebrate my queer family today. I'm perpetually in awe of the ways that they beautifully embody the love, acceptance, and perseverance of the divine. So the intersection of ordinary time and pride led me to the passages that I chose for today. Ecclesiastes 3 points out the emptiness of life without connection and community, and the practical advantages of sharing life together. The writer describes a solitary life as a vanity under the sun, or some of us probably grew up with the translation, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. Does that sound familiar to anybody? The writer says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up to the other, but woe to one who's alone and falls and does not have another to help. If two lie together, they keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? Though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Then the psalm reminded us how good and pleasant it is to live together in unity. These are beautiful passages, and these themes appear often in our liturgy here. They certainly popped up in what the oversight team shared these past several weeks. There is value and good in returning to these images often and kind of keeping that hopeful vision like in our line of sight, right? Because we don't have to look very far to see exactly the opposite, do we? Even within that inspiring language in Ecclesiastes, we find images of discord. One might prevail against another. Two will withstand one, presumably in a conflict. So there's the hopeful vision, and there's the division and the discord that we see all around us, this ever-present tension. We won't be resolving that tension today. Sorry. But my prayer is that we can increase our ability to hold it and navigate it well. We're going to focus on our up-close relationships, the ones that we just live our lives within. They take up the most space in our hearts and minds, and whether they're flourishing or floundering or a mix of both, they're the ones we care about so much. They give shape to our comings and goings in life. Friends, coworkers, neighbors, clients, church folks, extended family, romantic partners, marriages, parents, siblings, kids. The passages in Scripture that refer to the vital importance of community and shared life, like these are the connections that are being referred to. It is deeply good and pleasant to live together in unity. But also, relationships. They're always like with other people, right? Relationships just don't work sometimes. What makes them glitchy? Why are they hard? What makes some of them fall apart completely? On the flip side, what makes relationships solid, steady, or feel grounding? What makes them work well? And most puzzling, how do some relationships end up being all of that, kind of at the same time? That's what we're going to explore today. Again, not because there are definitive answers, but because exploring often leads to movement and growth, and that sounds beneficial for an area where we live every day and a lot of our greatest joys and struggles take place. Relationships aren't visible or tangible exactly, but they do feel so real and present, so we almost can't help using images and metaphors to bring them into our physical world. For example, my mom and dad had 3 kids. Maybe it's kind of a firstborn thing, but I remember wondering and even asking, which one of us is loved the most? My parents always said they loved us all the same, but like exactly the same. My brothers and I would often line up 3 clear plastic cups and try to perfectly divide like what was left of a pitcher of Kool-Aid between the 3 of us, like pouring, checking levels, arguing about like which cup had like just slightly more, right? It's hard to get it exactly. So that was my image of parental love. Like somehow all 3 of our love cups are just like exactly the same full from both parents. Now, as a parent, I've been on the other side of that question, especially when the kids were younger. And I realized I was onto something as a kid with my suspicions about that whole we love you the same thing. I mean, I do completely understand my parents' attempt to shut that line of questioning down. I don't love each of my kids the same. Not because there are 4 identical clear plastic cups that are filled to varying levels, okay? But that whole metaphor just isn't useful to me anymore. I love each of my kids unique. I envision my connection with each of them as something that's one of a kind and woven in between us, like a basket that we're creating and shaping together. Okay, first slide. This is a part of our morning where we all get to reflect on baskets for a little while. Baskets as a metaphor for relationships to help us see and feel and explore. Okay, next one. Baskets have been woven throughout history and across cultures. We can say the same about relationships. They might look and function differently in different contexts, but all humans have them and need them. All right, next one. Baskets are made from a variety of materials, and that's based on what is available, okay? Like banana fiber is an excellent material for making baskets, but people groups indigenous to the Pacific Northwest didn't use it. Why not? It makes such great baskets. Oh, it's not available here, okay? So as we are forming relationships, we're weaving them with the skills and the materials that we have available to us. I can imagine that some of my close people would really appreciate if I could weave in a little more patience or cool-headedness into our relationship. And that probably would be very helpful. I might acquire those materials still. I'm still growing, right? But right now, I'm using what I have. So when relationships feel challenging, it helps me to extend grace to myself and the other person to remember we're doing the best we can with the materials and skills that we have right now. If we had other stuff and other skills, we could use it. And even though those might not be available right now, they might be in the future or not. Next slide. Baskets come in a variety of shapes and sizes and patterns and colors. The basic techniques of basket making are consistent, but no two are exactly alike. So there are relationship building principles and practices that are generally the same, and then every relationship has its own unique dynamics and creative design. All right, the next one. I love this photo. Basket weaving takes time and intention with no guarantee about the end result. There is a process to designing, creating, testing, reinforcing, and we figure things out as we go along. We need long-term perspective and the ability to alternate between holding things loosely and adding some tension. Sometimes that weaving turns into a mess. The colors are all wrong, there's big holes. We can take a breath, give it time, look for ways to repair or reinforce. We can also give ourselves the freedom to release some of these relationships or the processes of them. It's okay to look at a basket and say, that didn't work. Or it doesn't hold what I hoped it would hold, and gently set it down and walk away. Maybe in some situations, the best thing to do is not so gently toss it, like into a fire. Let it at least give off a little warmth and light while it burns and move on. Giving time and intention to relationships is part of the process, and yet we can't know where that process will lead. Next one. Baskets have a purpose. They're made to hold stuff, and different baskets hold different stuff. What it can hold does depend what it's made out of. There's baskets to hold blankets, laundry, papers, decor, produce, picnic items, even baskets woven tightly enough to hold water. The diversity in all these types of baskets adds beauty and variety and fulfills all different functions in our lives. It takes a lot of time to weave a big, strong, sturdy basket. And then you realize, oh, it can hold a lot of stuff. But not every relationship is meant to do that. Some relationships have a more open structure. It's perfect for holding lighter things. Some baskets are only ours for a season, and then we don't have them or use them anymore. Sometimes we find out the hard way that a basket we thought was reliable has been weakened, and it actually doesn't hold what we thought or hoped it could. All right, next one. There's me with my kids. The one and only me, plus the one and only Judah, it makes the one and only Mom and Judah basket, right? My materials plus Nate's materials combined to make the one and only Mom and Nate basket. Growing and changing together over time is creating the unique Mom and Kaya basket. And shaping each other in ways that no one else could has resulted in the Soul Mom and Leah basket. All four are equally precious to me, but they're most definitely not the same. Okay, the next slide I'm gonna leave up for a little bit and pause for a few moments of quiet so we can all just reflect on our own baskets. I'll just ask a few questions. If you wanna close your eyes, we're just gonna ponder for a few minutes. So holding this metaphor in mind, let a relationship or more than one relationship come into your awareness. What kind of basket is it? What is it made out of? What do you notice about it? What is it able to hold, or perhaps not able to hold? Okay. Our reading from Colossians today is a one another type passage that's common in the New Testament, and it reads a bit like basic principles for basket weaving. It's full of traits and practices that increase the chances of us living together in harmony. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiveness, love, peace, gratitude. The more of these materials we're incorporating into our connections with others, the stronger they'll be. A specific phrase that kept jumping out at me from that passage is the invitation to clothe yourselves. Okay, so Paul is not matching up with my basket metaphor, so I'm just going to use his for a moment. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. The grace I hear in those words is the acknowledgement that we are not naturally, automatically, always, and at all times wearing those things. Right? If we were, we wouldn't need the reminder to put them on. So if we think of what we clothe ourselves with as how we present ourselves to others, sometimes our clothing choices are not ideal for the situation at hand. We all know what it feels like to show up somewhere and realize that what we chose to wear doesn't fit the situation very well, maybe because of the weather or the vibe of the event. Similar to how we feel off or unprepared or awkward in that situation, relationships can get glitchy because we don't always show up wearing things like humility or patience, for example. Please hear me say, however, it's okay that we're wearing different things at different times and they're not always the perfect thing. It's a totally expected and acceptable part of being human. We're growing, we're learning, we're practicing. These items are available to put on. And whenever we do, they'll help us move toward that hopeful vision of community and healthy relationships. Because we also know what it feels like to show up wearing the best thing for a given situation, right? The last Pearl hike fell on a really rainy Saturday, and I couldn't help noticing the jacket labels as we were huddled up. It was like Columbia, Columbia, North Face, Patagonia, Patagonia, North Face, right? Like we all looked in our closets, looked at the forecast, and we chose well. It takes practice to pause and choose and clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, etc., as we show up with others. The more we do, though, the more comfortable those items get. Maybe they even become like our go-to wardrobe staples that we reach for the most often. It's helpful to me to think that when I find myself in a challenging space in a relationship, I can reach for and put on something that's better suited than what I showed up in, right? I'm not locked in. An outfit upgrade is an option. I can accessorize. There's also space for trying things on. How does it fit? Is it something I can see myself wearing more? If a go-to of peacemaking isn't working very well, what if I try on something more assertive? If my go-to of speaking my mind isn't working very well, what if I try on listening? Cultivating relationship is a dynamic process that we're all growing and changing within all the time. That's challenging and so very beneficial, or is it? I want us to take a few moments to sit with the risks and rewards. So hold that hopeful vision of having a wide variety of life-giving relationships, being part of vibrant, healthy communities. Sounds amazing. Being seen and loved for who we are, having a positive impact in the lives of others. We can embrace that vision even with the acknowledgement of the time and intention and effort that it'll take. When we're weaving these interesting and purposeful baskets, adding in new materials, repairing places that are broken or worn, seeing something beautiful take shape is so rewarding. But there are real risks. Baskets weaken. Baskets break. Sometimes they break beyond repair. Sometimes the design turns out to be lopsided, not very functional. It can be blindsiding when a relationship or community or family connection that you've put a lot into falls apart in some way. when a relationship or community or family connection that you've woven a lot of your heart into feels more like the frayed remnants of a broken basket, that's devastating. I remember a conversation Keith and I had years ago after a season when we ended up losing a community we loved. It was messy and complicated. It just felt like our best efforts fell short. We needed a break and some downtime so we could feel terrible for a while. And then that lack of community started to feel achy. But the idea of jumping into something new felt really overwhelming. I remember saying to Keith, I just want to wake up one morning and have community. I don't want to do the work of building community. I didn't want the risk. I felt unsure. It sounded like too much, yet I did miss it, and I wanted that sense of connection. So is it worth the risk? On this Pride Sunday, I want to specifically and with heartfelt gratitude bring attention to some of the ways our queer family leans into this question of whether or not it's worth it. In fact, as I was preparing for today, I found it hard to even choose what story to use as an example. There were just so many that flooded my mind. I landed on a specific friendship with an amazing human named Britt, a basket that caught me by surprise. I met Britt in January of 2018, a while ago now. She was a friend of a friend. One of my first impressions of her came as we were carpooling to a conference. She was talking with someone else I didn't know. Like, they knew each other, but they had both just met me. So I was kind of just overhearing. My takeaways about Britt were, she's a newly out queer woman who grew up in a conservative, evangelical pastor's family. And it sounds like she's in a pretty rough place with some family relationships that are really painful. And I also thought, I'm probably not the type of person she would gravitate toward at this point in her life, and that's okay. Yet, to my surprise, in the short time we spent together, she decided to let me in a little bit. Why? She sure didn't have to. In that season of her life, she'd been left holding some very broken remnants of some very damaged baskets. Why risk making a new one with someone you just met? We've all had relationships that turned out to be misshapen or that broke completely under the weight of something they couldn't hold. That's painful for anyone. Yet today I want to honor the specific pain that so many queer folks have experienced when the break in a relationship happens after they bravely and vulnerably come out to a family member, friend, home group, pastor, someone else they care deeply about. And that person or people that they came out to can't hold their half of the basket anymore. Our LGBTQ plus family has lived this at a cost too high to measure. How deeply harmful and crisis-inducing it must be to discover the hard way that some baskets were not strong enough to hold the honest, beautiful truth of you being fully you. That kind of pain would make it completely understandable to not risk again. When I heard just a little bit about what Britt had been through before coming out and then after coming out, I was heartbroken for her. Thankfully, she was making some life-affirming connections at that point in time with other queer folks who had similar stories. That made total sense to me. I was so glad that was happening. What didn't make any sense at all is that she took a risk on me. We stayed in touch. I found her to be such a caring, thoughtful human. She hadn't met Keith or any of my kids, and she always asked about them so sincerely. That interest and care was my first clue as to how much love she has to give, how committed she is to her people. She goes all in. I think it also helped her to have me as someone who resembled the types of Christians she had grown up around her whole life. But I had found a path to being affirming, so maybe I was evidence of something that could possibly happen with some of those broken relationships in her life. I got to be a voice of encouragement, and she didn't have a lot of that at that time. I'm so glad we built that basket because it quickly ended up being tested by a very heavy loss. That June, which was only 6 months after we met, I texted her to check in because I knew she was planning to use Pride Month is like a courage boost to attempt a challenging conversation. So I just wanted to say, like, I'm here, how's all that going? When I sent that text, there's no way I could have known that she had just found out about the death of her older brother. In her whole huge family, he was the one she was closest to. The first person to truly see her for all of who she is and absolutely accept and celebrate her. Understandably, she was wrecked. The journey of grief that followed took a huge toll on her, and she needed support in a way she never had before. Walking alongside her through that season was such an honor. And while I know she was tempted to pull away and isolate many, many times, that basket was there and it held. Enough trust had been built that she kept resurfacing and allowing her close people to hold her up. I am forever in awe of Britt for her courageous example in building relationships and holding on to hope for the strengthening and rebuilding of relationships that have been painful. And she is one of so many. This room is full of folks who very much do the same. This is the embodiment of God's relational nature in human form and at a high cost. Most people will live their whole lives and not have to wonder if being honest about who we truly are will cost our family, will cost our livelihood, will cost our personal safety, will cost our faith community, will cost our faith. Many of our queer family members in each of our wider circles and right here at Pearl have faced stakes exactly that high. Let's just sit with that for a breath. I've shared with a lot of queer friends how significant and impactful I find their example of relational bravery to be, and the reply is often a version of, well, I have to because I know what it's like to be left with nothing and no one, so I know how badly I need it. Yeah, whoa. What I hear in that is, I know the risk is high because I've lost it all before, and I'm still choosing to open myself up and risk again. You are describing the transformation of suffering into a superpower, and it's a superpower that the world desperately needs more of. What you infuse into our wider community alters our collective DNA for the better. We are who we are as a Pearl family because you've taken the risk to walk through the doors of a churchy type space again, and the further risk of believing that there truly is room for every part of you. And by opening up your lives and your hearts with all the healing, wisdom, perspective, talent, humor, and vibrant authenticity that you've gained along the way, you've become the home that a lot of people are looking for, that my family was looking for. So thank you. Thank you for embodying bravery and demonstrating the risks and rewards of relationship in ways that have shaped our whole community. Thank you for inviting us to risk entering an imperfect and sometimes messy journey for the potential of creating something truly beautiful together. To bring my basket with Britt up to current times, I've gotten to be part of some very happy milestones in her life as well. Let me just say, when you make the short list of people who get that giddy, excited, we just got engaged phone call, that is pure joy. Actually, next slide. This fantastic human with so much love to give found her forever person in Rachel, who has just as much to give back. They got married in April, and as you can see, their bridal party was each wearing a color of the rainbow. Next slide, you can see I got to be blue. All right, can you put the baskets back up? As we close our time today, I want to extend a couple of invitations and encourage you to respond in whatever ways resonate the most with you. The first is this. For any of you here today, no matter how long you've been at Pearl, if you've had fleeting thoughts here or there, about growing in the ways that you connect with other folks here, weighing out some of those risks and rewards, I simply invite you to intentionally let those thoughts surface again. I don't know where that might take you, but I can vouch for this community as a gentle and welcoming place to practice weaving baskets. My second invitation is to use the times of reflection at the last part of the service to return to a basket or two in your life and notice something new. Maybe an area that's worn or broken that needs attention. Maybe something beautiful is woven there that you haven't paused to appreciate lately. I will trust along with you that our Creator is present with you there, lovingly holding you where you are while inviting you to grow. Let's pray. God, you are vibrantly alive within each one of us and in the connections between us. We can't always see or feel that, especially when things are broken and messy, and yet we trust that you hold us all in your love. Amen.
We hope that this sermon inspired you to ponder the sacred, to consider the mystery and love of God, and to live bountifully. If you don't already support our work, will you begin today? You can donate easily and securely at our website, pearlchurch.org, or follow the link in the podcast notes. Thank you for partnering with us in expressing this sacred story.